Attention all passengers. Thank you for choosing ZAZ Flight 545 as your official way to fly. Here at ZAZ's airline, we're asking that all passengers over the age of 80 who suffer from mild heart attacks or whiplash to exit the flight now. This is only safety precautions due to the high turbulence that we will be experiencing through the flight. Other than that, we are asking all passengers please buckle your seatbelts and prepare for the ultimate entertainment experience in 5, 4, 3,
Hi, this is Pastor John, and thank you for joining me for another webcast. I was just reading on the Yahoo News that Chris Brown got 5 years probation today for beating the woman's, Brianna's, face into a meatloaf, and 5 years probation and community service in his home state of Virginia. And I was just thinking about, because I was born and reared in this city in Los Angeles, just want to let you know about how corrupt justice is. You know, what we used to tell our children was to put our faith and trust in judges and policemen and the politicians that are working for our best, right? Even as Christians, what is a Christian way to do? We tell them to obey the law, do what's right, and if you do what's right, it'll come back at you. When I was raised in the 50s, that was the mantra that I was raised under. John, be a good boy, go to school, don't ever ditch, don't have sex with people, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat. All those kinds of things I was taught as a kid. So quite naturally, it was very, very easy when the Lord spoke to my heart for me to say yes. First of all, after I admitted that I was a totally debauched creature. Ice cream man, take a pause. But the question that I have tonight is, why didn't Chris Brown go to prison? I have a personal friend of mine. No, he's not a friend. He's my young cousin. He's my mother's sister's boy. And he was tangled up with this gal a number of years ago, and they had a baby between them. Things weren't always right. She was working. He was working part-time. So she used the child is a pawn to blackmail him into frustrating me, wanted to see his boy. He went over to the house one night to see the boy, and she began to curse him out on the other side of the door. I'm just letting you Christians know how life is from my side of the family. Well, he got angry, and he kicked the door. He didn't know that she was standing right behind it. He kicked the door, and the door was jammed open, and as he kicked it, it kind of slammed her in the face. She's right up to the door, I guess cursing him out, and the door hit her. Well, of course, she reported it to the police. He saw his kid, and he left, reported it to the police. You know, he spent 5 years in San Quentin. 5 years. He has a record. He'll never be off the docket. 5 years for kicking the door in. Now, Chris Brown, what he did is beat the living crap out of that silly woman that he was with, and he gets 5 years probation. What's that all about? I tell you what it is. It's a travesty of justice. It's a tragedy of justice. It is the insanity of the justice system in this country. If you have money, if you look a certain way, you get off the hook. What about the poor guy that's pushed over the... And I know I sound like a swan song, always giving some kind of, you know, you're always for the brothers. My God, I was talking with a preacher the other day. He thought that I was dead. He had met a friend of mine in a business establishment, and this friend was talking about theology, and so this pastor said, Who's your pastor? You know, they always ask that. They always ask that. And he said, John Coleman. And he said, John Coleman that was married to Lucy? Yes. And he said, is he still alive? Because you see, when the preachers don't see you with a church building and stuff like that, well, they figure that you're dead and stuff like that. And so he told him, no, he's very alive. So the man called me while I was here in the office and put the man on the speakerphone. First thing that the man said to me is, did you remarry? Now, that tickled me. I kind of chuckled under my breath. I speak to young black men all the time, especially the ones that have these wives that won't obey God, won't obey the scriptures, and definitely won't listen to the brother. And please don't let sister make $10 more than he makes a month, because see, she gonna flash that in his face because her mama had already told her that you much better than him and you can do better without him. Remember that little talk that Bill Cosby gave the all-girls black college? Told him not to marry no brothers because they're just worthless piece of things. Well, anyhow, I told the preacher, I said, no, I wouldn't dare remarry, man. And he was talking about all these sisters out here. And I said, oh, no. I said, why you want to hurt me like that? I said, you know the kind of man I am. You know what he, you know what the preacher told me? The preacher told me, you know, when you look at the young people at, that's going stark raving mad. And I'll get back to Chris Brown, okay? The preacher told me that I've gone mad because I should stop being so hard on the women's. And what he was trying to say is, accept what you get, man. You know, accept what you get. Don't complain. That's the way it is. It's never going to change. And you ought to be happy about what you have. Well, of course, I told him, I said, we'll have to talk at some other time. But I was thinking about this Chris Brown thing, and I said, well, let me see. And they had a picture of the young man, Chris Brown, with his shirt off in a dark room. And so I hit the button, and it was a video. And in this video, it looked like a big rolling dish that they were in. Three black men. One of them was Chris Brown. And through the whole record, I forget what it was called. I'm trying to forget. I don't want to remember. But I want to talk to you guys out there that got little girls going to grammar school and middle school now, because that's when it starts. They start to do the sexual gyrations, talking about how they wanted to sleep carnally with these young ladies. The arena was full of young ladies, teenagers, screaming, some crying, looking at this brawler. And that's why I played that thing when I first started the webcast, and I'm going to play it again, because their whole lives are bent on things like this. See, they're talking to you, giving you an idea.
Attention all passengers. Thank you for choosing ZAZ Flight 545 as your official way to fly. Here at ZAZ's airline, we're asking that all passengers over the age of 80 who suffer from mild heart attacks or whiplash to exit the flight now. This is only safety precautions due to the high turbulence that we will be experiencing through the flight.
Yeah, see, what they're saying is that the image that we're presenting to you, Pastor John, is so high turbulence that we're going to take this thing off the chart, because we all about sexing them up, spreading venereal disease, living immoral. Now, I know I can hear some of you saying, now, what you talking about, preacher? You said that you like rock and roll. I said, no, I like the oldies. But the oldies records that I like didn't teach that. No, I heard you say that you cared for one of Marvin Gaye's records. Yes, I like the musical arrangement, and I thought that it was a fantastic piece of work. But Marvin's life was a mess. Just like some so-called Christians' lives are a mess. There's a lot of people's lives that are a mess. Muslims' lives are a mess. Christians' lives, especially Christians, because they're supposed to be the holy and righteous people. We're supposed to be. I have to put myself in that category, though I don't like to do that often, because I don't want to be named amongst them, because I'm embarrassed by what I see. Man, you doing the boogaloo slide in the church? Sliding for Jesus? Come on, cut me some slack. Anyhow, the reason that what this is all leading to, let me put it that way, is I'm just going to play about a line of this song here, because this is the kind of, and this isn't Chris Brown singing, this is another group. Some guys were in the mall saying, please, would you help us in our business? And I saw that they were selling a CD, so I gave them $5 for it. I said, I bet this thing is full of cussing, and I asked him, I said, there's a few cuss words and everything, but he was right. It wasn't a lot of cuss words in it, but it had this theme. Listen. Now, a lot of Christians say, well, you see, when you hear that music, John, you can hear the beat of the music. I think it was one theologian calls it the bombastic beats of Africa. Well, when you listen to AC/DC and you listen to all those other kind of things, I would like to see you writing your commentaries about that kind of beat too, not just the bombastic beats of sexual rhythmings of Africa. If you black, you know what I'm talking about. It's in the music. Now, you got to protect your children from that. And how do you do that? How do you protect your children from the likes of Chris Brown? How do you keep them from wanting to go see somebody like 50 Cent, Kanye West, Usher, whatever his real name is? How do you stop your young 20-something-year-old daughter from being influenced by the kind of clothes that a lot of these young ladies wear? You can't make them wear the kind of clothes that Quakers dress in, because Christian girls are not going to dress in that. How do you stop them from becoming Miss America and flashing your whatever all over the screens and everything, but yet talk about you're a Christian? How do you stop that kind of nonsense? How do you stop the sexual harassment that Christians put on the homosexual community? I'm just getting on the Christians. Don't worry about the gays. They're just sinful all the way. You expect that to take place. Christians, we have an obligation to tighten up our act. Yeah, no, I need to tighten mine up too. Sometimes when I need to relax and, you know, recline, I just need to go to sleep and shut the Hades up altogether. But I don't want to talk about me. I want to speak to you about this generation that is going to replace us. I was talking with another professional college professor. I won't give his name. It's not important. He was asking me what I thought about Proposition 8. We were talking with each other through MySpace, and I said, I was laughing out loud, and I said, there are more non-gay people in the world than gay people, so Proposition 8 will never pass. Because non-gay people are not going to cognitively and consciously affirm that lifestyle. Well, the person waited, the professor waited about a day, 24 hours. And then he emailed me. And he said, we're waiting for all of you to die off. That was a very important statement. We're waiting for all of you to die off. Now, I want you to think with me. What kind of a world is this going to be if there were no men speaking like me? What kind of a world would this be if no mothers would talk about protecting the veracity and the virginity of their daughters? What kind of world would this be if everybody just on demand, like television, was giving it up or getting it? I want you to think about that. Well, it's explained in the Bible, because I know a lot of you Bible people want me to give some Bible, because I give these commentaries, but I don't give. Well, you know the Bible already. It's going to be as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where we're headed to, basically. And I want to think that the only people that can hold the line here are the Christians, but they've been so polluted that when it comes time to make a stand, to stand up, even in the young generation, they're not going to have enough of a voice to make a whimper because their lives, you see, that's why when you get into the emergent, divergent, pervergent, perverted, apostolic, apostles, prophets, and, you know, the Juanita Bunyans and the Paula White, Black, and all this kind of nonsense, you weaken what the real church is. I was also thinking, as I'm sitting here in the studio, just thinking out loud about this thing, I was thinking about my background, my veracity to think that everyone should be like me. I don't think that everyone should be like me. What's problematic to me is that there are so few men thinking like me. And I just want to lay this out there. And I'd love some comment from some of you younger men in your late 20s, and not you teenagers, not you boys, because you children, 19, 20 like that, y'all don't know. Y'all are just living off, you windsurfing off of what your parents told you. You haven't thought it through enough. You at an age where you get a hero and you're going to quote your hero because you don't exactly know even why he said it.